our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Oh, Darius, you're adorable with your contributing instead of contributing. It's just a delight to have you on the podcast. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. Finding good short hitters, the new Moneyball? Because, man, the Red Sox are good at this.
They are tiny people, aren't they?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
You're like the overseas male version of Stefania Bell. I'm glad we have you on Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Well, I think that's my best compliment on the podcast so far, so I'll take it.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode, who gives a shit? Actually, it's 148, so maybe I'll do this properly. This is the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Eli Rosenzweig. Justin Mason's internet sucks, so I'm going to have to host, so I apologize for that. Joining me today is Darius Austin and Chuck Anderson. What's going on, fellas?
We're all good. Giants had another win. Darius is
no
happy.
One cares. Darius, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Better than you, I think. Happy with the Giants finally winning a game. Keep the Dodgers off.
Yeah, well, no need to get personal with my White Sox, all right? or Chuck's Brewers, for that matter.
Yeah, no one wants any personal time with them right now.
All right, why don't we get into, players that are actually good, because hopefully we've got no White Sox on the list today, do we? I don't know.
I don't think so, no.
All right, well, that's good, because no one wants to hear me go on another rant. All right, why don't we talk about a guy that I stashed on all my teams this year, probably for too long, but starting to pay off some major dividends in Trey Turner. Darius, is Trey Turner a top 10 middle infielder right now?
I think with the speed, he could be. The Nats seem to be finding a way to get him in the lineup, whether that's at second base or center field. With Ryan Zimmerman injured again, that means Daniel Murphy's been sliding over to first. So that helps them find a spot for him. And frankly, Ben Revere and Michael Taylor have been terrible in center. So I think they're more than happy to keep playing Turner there. He's striking out quite a lot, which is what you'd expect from somebody making their major league debut. And it's obviously a very small sample. His speed is clearly elite. I think he's got eight steals in 9 attempts so far, and he's barely played really. So even though he's got that crazy high BABIP, I think he's the kind of guy who can sustain that. And especially if you're in a roto league and you're lagging behind in steals a bit, this is the kind of guy who could really be the game changer down the stretch. So if you need steals at all, I would definitely go and pick him up. And yeah, I could easily see him finishing in the top 10 the rest of the way.
Chuck, where are you on this one?
I feel pretty good about Trey Turner overall. I do think, he's 0 for his last 9, still batting .287. 23 strikeouts to 4 bases on balls is not really an ideal ratio, but it's not unheard of for a young guy getting called up for his first time. It's also of note that he's 1 for 13 since homering in back-to-back games. So I would really love to see him get 13 more games in the outfield, since he's got 7 there now, and see him become both middle infield and outfield eligible, because I think the middle infield is pretty stacked. So I'm hopeful for all of that. The other thing that's interesting is this is a good test case to see if Dusty Baker has come a long way as far as playing younger players. He seems to have been in Trey Turner's corner the whole time. So hopefully they continue to use him very liberally. And that way he'll be ready to have a really full-time role next year.
Yeah, well, Turner only needs, 3 more games for outfield eligibility this year, and then, 13 for next year. So, yeah, that'd be nice to get the dual eligibility. But I feel like next year you're probably playing mostly in the infield spot. But, it's always good to have that option. Why don't we move on to Dylan Bundy? Are we buying that this is a legit top 30, top 40 starter for this year and next year, Chuck?
I think I am. I mean, being in the top 30 or 40 isn't what it used to be. There's been a lot of steps back by a lot of pitchers this year. And Bundy being only 23 years old, a strikeout per inning isn't that unusual anymore. It used to be far more unusual than it is now. But his numbers as a starter this year, hitters are batting just 177 against him since he got moved to the rotation. He's walked just three guys and struck out 24 in his last three starts. There's a lot to be excited about. He's obviously got an elite offense behind him as well. So even though he pitches in a dangerous division, I would say that he is going to go off the board easily within the top 40 for next year.
All right. The one thing, I agree with all that. The one thing I worry about is the innings. He's projected, he's at 65 right now. If he keeps up the current pace, he's like, what, maybe 100 or so or whatever. We're looking at, what, 140, 150 inning limit next year? That's certainly going to hurt his value. What do you think about that, Darius?
Yeah, it's a concern for me. Obviously, the injury history is not good. I think he topped 100 innings in 2012. That was the only time he'd ever done it in his pro career. The subsequent 3 years, he obviously dealt with a number of issues, and the Orioles seem pretty keen on keeping his pitch counts down this year. Obviously, he's been pitching out of the bullpen for the first half, so that's got something to do with it. But I can bet that they're pretty concerned about his health as well, given what's happened in the past. So the stuff is incredible. He's one of those guys who's just great to watch replays of him striking guys out over and over again, because he's got some really incredible pitches, a lot of movement, and makes batters look really silly. So I'm definitely excited, and I certainly hope he can sort of pitch enough to be in that top 40 range next year. But I do have the same concern of you that he might not be the kind of guy you can count on for more than 140, 150 innings.
Well, speaking of counting on long term, if you're in a dynasty league, do you think now's the time to sell or now's the time to buy? I mean, he's certainly got the potential. He's still only 23, but do you trust him long term to stay healthy and have the innings and keep this up? Or do you think you got to sell now before it's too late?
I think if you can get somebody to buy him at close to what his original prospect pedigree was, then that would be great. I don't know whether anybody would do that, just based on how long it's been. You know, it's taken him 4 years from the point that we thought he was going to start contributing for the Orioles to actually get back here. So my bet is that people will be just as cautious as you are and kind of shy away from giving you anything much of value, in which case I'd ride him at least until he puts together a few more good starts and then see what you can get. I don't have any reason to believe, you know, that he's immediately going to get injured. There's no signs that he is hurt right now, so I'd be tempted to just ride him unless you can get that really high end return for him.
Oh, Darius, you're adorable with your contributing instead of contributing. It's just a delight to have you on the podcast. Where do you stand on Dylan on in the dynasty league, Chuck?
Well, one thing I note, and maybe I'm the only one who takes note of it, but when, in my dynasty leagues, I take a look at if a pitcher pitched in college or not, and Bundy came straight out of high school, so I don't think there was any of the college abuse that you hear so regularly disdained by, you know, Keith Law and others within the industry. And I still think he's just 23 years old, so I think I would buy and take my chances. I mean, this is the kind of high upside player that you have to, you know, that you have to take a stab at some of these guys to do well in dynasty. He's 23 years old. I'm going to take the very optimistic side and say that most of his injury history is behind him now, until he's probably can pitch well until his late 20s before we're going to see any signs of decline.
Well, speaking of 23-year-olds, I know the next guy is someone Chuck wanted to talk about. He's a guy that I've liked in the past. I'm not so sure about now. He's certainly intriguing. That'd be Jorge Polanco of the Twins. Chuck, do you think this is the shortstop of the future in Minnesota?
Well, I do think he's the shortstop of the future in Minnesota, but there's some serious questions as to how much value he has for fantasy, I think, going forward. You know, he's got a .328 BABIP right now, which is, you know, still a relatively small sample size. He's got a little bit of speed, but he didn't really show any pop in the minors. I think shortstop is deep enough that I think I'm going to have him outside my top 15 going into next year for sure. But the good role for Polanco, the good sign for Polanco is that really they don't have anyone that I deem to be a long-term solution at shortstop on their, you know, 50-man roster or maybe even in their minors for quite some time. So I think it's Polanco's job to lose, and he's showing decent signs of being a middle-of-the-road kind of shortstop that won't hurt you at the position going forward.
Yeah, I feel like next year he's something like a 275 hitter with what, 10 homers and 12 steals or something like that. So a nice AL-only guy towards the end of your draft that you could just plug in and he'll give you a little bit of something. What do you think, Darius?
My concern with Polanco particularly is the stolen bases, because he's really not been very good in the minors. He's not actually that far over 50% success rate. I think if he continues to show that sort of poor rate in the majors, then he's just not going to get to run that much. And if you're looking at a guy, I think 10 homers is probably about, you know, the most of what you can expect from him. At middle infield, I know it's not the deepest position, but it is deeper than it used to be, and that's just not that exciting to me. So I think, yeah, in a deeper league, as like sort of a dependable, decent average middle infielder with a bit of power and a bit of speed, he's okay, but I find it hard to see him having much upside.
Yeah, I think he's a better real-life player than fantasy player. I know the answer that Chuck's going to give me, but next year, D.D. Gregorius or Jorge Polanco?
I would go D.D. Gregorius.
Well, yeah, we all know that's what you're doing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just curious what Darius would say to that.
Oh, okay.
I'll take Gregorius as well. I think I see a little bit more upside for him.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to go Polanco just because D.D. Gregorius bores the shit out of me. Speaking of boring the shit out of me, Dan Straley. I was so high on him when he was a minor leaguer, dominating AAA, striking everyone out, and he's gone back and forth between being fancy relevant and not fancy relevant. Where do we stand on him now? Chuck, why don't we start with you?
I think we were all a little impatient with him. I think that's sort of a tendency throughout baseball and throughout fantasy baseball now. You know, he's 27 years old. There's got to be some room for some of these guys to grow and learn at the major league level sometimes. And, you know, Straley's, there's been such a dearth of starting pitching around the game that he's sort of floated around like tumbleweed. But I have a tendency to try and look at the whip for these players and not their ERA. He's got a 1.11 whip, which is certainly competitive, way over where he was drafted. He's got 7 straight quality starts right now, so we're obviously looking at him at a high point. 25 strikeouts to 6 bases on balls in his last 5 starts. I mean, the one thing you note is that he's got 18 home runs allowed in 23 games started this season. And the one thing that really jumped out to me is I assumed that he would be pitching a lot better on the road than he would be at home. But his home ERA is actually 3.19 and his road ERA is 4.34. I think he's sneaky starting pitching depth value going forward over the next couple of years. I really do.
And I still like him, but 51 walks and not really too pleasing. 105 Ks and 134 innings, not too pleasing. I don't like the team he's on. I don't like the park he's in. I feel like he's getting a little lucky with the BABIP. He's allowing too many homers. I like the guy. I just think he's a streamer. What do you think, Darius?
Yeah, I agree. A streamer at best. He's giving up a lot of fly balls. I think he's 6th amongst qualified starters in fly ball rate. Great American Ballpark is not a good place to do that. And I think the only reason his ERA is as low as it is because of that very low 220 BABIP that you mentioned. So I think he might be a guy who can, he seems to be inducing slightly weaker than average contact, but he's not in the elite category there. I didn't really see anything in his pitch usage that suggests he should have taken a big step forward. So I think before long, we're going to see his ERA come up quite a bit more into the line of that road ERA that Chuck mentioned, the kind of 434, because I don't think it's going to stay anywhere near this low once a few more guys start getting on base.
All right, what jerk put Hernan Perez on the rundown? Was that you, Chuck?
It wasn't me. And you're going to be very surprised on my take on Hernan Perez because...
Well, hold on a second. I didn't ask for your take. I want to start with Darius.
Go ahead.
Let's build the tension here.
I think the speed is obviously great. The Brewers love to run. They're leading the majors in steals, I believe. The problem I see here is playing time now. RC has obviously come up. He's playing shortstop. VR's playing third. So we had Perez play second last night instead of Scooter Jeanette, I think. But that was the first time he's done that. He's sharing outfield time with Kirk Nieuwenhuis.
Oh, my God. These players are so bad, man.
Who's a platoon candidate anyway. And the Brewers seem pretty keen. I mean, we should get, obviously, Chuck will tell us a bit more about this, but they seem keen on giving Keon Broxton a pretty good look in the outfield as well. So I don't know how much he's going to play. He seems to have speed and not a huge amount else, which, you know, if you're one of those players who needs some speed down the stretch, then maybe he's worth a shot. But I do worry that he's not going to get to play every day.
Chuck certainly would know better than me, but I feel like he's not in danger of losing much time. Kirk Nieuwenhuis is hot garbage. Scooter Jeanette, he's fine, whatever. Like, he's had plenty of opportunities. He's okay, but at this point, they might have a little something in Hernan Perez. So I don't think he's going to lose too much time, but Chuck, am I wrong on that one?
No, I certainly think you're right. I mean, right now, Craig Counsell is playing these games with their lineup. Like, he's moved Chris Carter down to sixth. He's trying to spread out the strikeouts within the lineup, which is kind of an odd maneuver that's going on right now. And so Hernan Perez has been jumping around all over the order. He's batted, you know, second, fourth. He bats third if Braun needs time off. He's sort of been all over the place. I don't think there's any concerns. I think he's going to be a middle of the order bat to start the season next year. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say. So I'm not as concerned about his playing time. I mean, Ramon Flores might be the worst player in the last 15 years in Major League Baseball. And he's played most of the season out in the outfield. So there's been plenty of outfield at bats to go around. Hernan Perez is actually looks to be a very good outfielder. His throwing arm is certainly strong enough for it, and he's athletic enough for it. He's played pretty good wherever he's played. So I have very little concern about his playing time. I have concerns about him making adjustments and concerns about him having only 9 walks in 222 at bats so far. That really concerns me. You know, I think the league, is he going to be able to adjust? Because now I think the pitchers realize that, you know, that they can almost kind of, they don't have to worry about throwing him strikes because he's not taking enough walks. So he's going to have to adjust to be really viable next year. And it's not the train that you're on. It's when you get on the train. And to me, if Hernan Perez plays too well here next year, he's going to go from being a draft value to being someone who might be a little overdrafted.
Next year, how many games does Hernan Perez play for the Brewers, Chuck?
Oh, I think he plays, I would be stunned if he didn't play, you know, upwards of 140 games.
Yeah, I was going to say 130 plus. If he does play a full season, how many homers does he hit? How many steals does he have?
I will say 14 home runs and 28 steals.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable. What do you think, Darius, on that one?
Yeah, I mean, if he gets that kind of playing time, then that certainly sounds doable. I think he's stolen more than 20 bases each of his last 3 seasons in the minors. So that certainly sounds doable to me. I do have questions about the on-base, because he isn't walking very much, as Chuck mentioned. But if the Brewers are willing to play him 140-plus games, I don't see why he can't reach those numbers.
Just out of curiosity, do you guys play in average leagues or OBP leagues?
Almost entirely OBP now.
Yeah, I got to stop playing average leagues. What am I doing with my life?
I play in a split.
Yeah, so. I'm almost universally lower on these guys who don't have a high OBP, and I think it's because almost all my leagues are OBP leagues.
So. All right, why don't we move on to the next guy? That'd be Tanner Roark of the Nationals. I don't know how he gets by with what he's got. Chuck, are you high on Tanner Roark? Do you think this is going to be a guy that keeps his rotation spot for several years to come, or he's going to bounce around from the bullpen or maybe go to a different team or something?
Well, as I understand the story, going to the bullpen really, really threw him off and has kind of wrecked his last season. Right now, it's hard for me not to look at him and think that he's got a ton of value as a starting pitcher. You know, not just because he's running hot right now. I mean, lefties are hitting 188 against him on the year. His worst monthly ERA was 3.56. That's certainly playable. Can you imagine how much a team like the Royals, who have been dreadful on the bump, would love to have a pitcher who has that profile? You know, the one thing I would say is that his strikeouts this year have come in, you know, fits and spasms. And they've been trending downward as the season has worn on. But I think he's a long-term value at starting pitcher. I literally, I took him in the 3-sport draft as my number 4 starter for next year, and I think he's very viable at that. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm probably too hard on him. He's just not the most fun player to own, but he's pretty solid, pretty consistent. I think he's kind of proved himself at this point. For the most part, he's been pretty good throughout his career with a. I mean, he's got a career 3.05 ERA, and the numbers this year were better than anyone expected, but they're right in line with his career numbers. What do you think about Roark, Darius?
I really like Roark. I think he is one of these guys who doesn't necessarily jump out at you because he hasn't got the eye-popping performance in any one category, but he's got really good control and command. He locates his pitches very well. He doesn't have a distinct platoon split. And I think he's obviously very deceptive because he's still, this is something I think I mentioned last time we talked about him, but he's still very good at throwing pitches in the zone that don't get swung at. So I think he's got four really good pitches that he can locate, and it does seem to be kept off balance by him over what has been a pretty significant sample now. You mentioned the issues with him being messed around in the bullpen. I think those are behind him. You can pretty much count on him as a very reliable sort of above average starter. So yeah, I like Roark both for the rest of the season and going forward.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Quintana in that he's just a guy you plug in your rotation. He's going to provide you value all over the place. You'll get him at a good price. You don't have to worry about him. Obviously, Quintana's taken a little bit of a step up this year, but a similar kind of player. I'm going to mention a guy that's not on a rundown because his name popped in my head. I want to get your take on him. Andrew Benintendi. Darius, is he a top 40 outfielder the rest of the way?
I think he might be. I still have questions about whether the power speed combo will be enough just from a fantasy perspective. I think he's a really good hitter. You know, everything before he came up was very positive that he could contribute straight away, and everything we've seen so far suggests to me that he can do that. So I wonder whether, yeah, he'll have the power speed numbers. I know he got a home run taken away on review last night, I think it was. I think from a pure batting perspective, he's a really high quality player, and he's definitely got the potential to be in that top 40.
Yeah, I think he's the kind of guy that needs to be. Yeah, I agree. The homers won't be great. The steals won't be great. He's the kind of player that needs to be batting in like the two hole to maximize his fantasy value, and that's just not going to happen this year because their lineup's so stacked. What do you think, Chuck?
I think I'm actually a little bit higher than you guys are on him, which you guys don't seem to be down on him per se. I think he's a guy who can be a poor man's Christian Yelich as early as next year. Somebody who I don't think is going to have huge power numbers, but I love having hitters in lineups like that.
Oh yeah, Yelich is my favorite non-White Sox. I'm always more talking about this year, but yeah, I certainly love him next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year too. I mean, that you know, there was a rumor that they were going to platoon him regularly, and it seems like they're trotting him out there almost every day. So I think if he gets regular at bats, I don't think he's going to hurt anybody. I can't imagine he's anyone's more than their fourth or fifth outfielder at this point. And I think he's exceptionally viable in that spot.
Over under top 35 outfielder next season.
I'll take the over. I think he can be that kind of number three, close to 35, but maybe that 30 to 35 range.
I think that's the right area. But I have a feeling that, I have a feeling you're going to have to pay about that for him too, with the pedigree and being one of the few minor leaguers to get called up that's really hitting right now. So, but I'll take the over as well. It wouldn't stun me. I don't think outfield is going to be as deep as it has been in years past.
Is finding good short hitters the new money ball? Because man, the Red Sox are good at this.
They are tiny people, aren't they?
Well, speaking of, go ahead, Derek.
I was just going to say it would be an interesting book to read. Just 300 pages of how the Red Sox just went and drafted every short prospect in the country.
You know what book I think I'd rather read? Chuck ranting about Billy Bean. That's the book that I want to read.
Yeah.
Let's call Michael Lewis. Make it happen.
That would be insufferable. Even for me, that would be insufferable.
Well, Michael Lewis is a great writer, but I wanted Chuck to write that one. Like. Yeah. Right, why don't we talk about a former Red Sox, Mike Napoli. He's having a good year, but he's getting pretty old. Do we think this can continue the rest of the year and into next year, or do you think the time to write him was a while ago and that might be about it for Napoli? Chuck, why don't we start with you?
I don't know how anyone could trust him. He lasted forever in our three-sport draft. You know, way beyond, there was all kinds of, you know, Brandon Belts and all kinds of other players that aren't nearly statistically as good as Napoli that were taken in front of him in our draft. And I just feel like he's been so up and down in batting average. You know, he was unplayable when he was a Red Sox last year. which is really hard to imagine. And pretty much that's been the story of his career, that he's been all over the place. He's usually good for around 20 home runs at least, but the batting average can be completely debilitating to a fantasy team. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to let somebody else take a gamble on a 35-year-old who, by the way, the Indians are considering if they're going to give a qualifying offer to next year. If he gets paid more than $16 million next year, that is going to floor me. But he's on a one-year deal, so you know it'll be interesting too. You have to figure out where he's going to land as well.
How is he having his best season as a 34-year-old? It's kind of strange to me, but I think I'm in. As long as he's in, if he's in Cleveland next year, I'm definitely in. If he's in a good ballpark and a good lineup, I'm definitely in as well. Yes, his averages can kill you, but for the most part, they're usually around that in the 250 range, which don't murder you these days. And this guy's on pace for 40 homers and 100-plus RBIs, 100 runs. He walks a fair amount. You could get him just so cheap because no one likes taking the veterans. No one trusts them. But, I mean, the guy is dominating this year. What do you think, Darius?
I kind of go to both perspectives, really. The good news, certainly on the injury standpoint, first of all, he had the problem with the sleep apnea that he had the surgery on. I remember reading about he hadn't had any dreams for 8 years because he never got into REM sleep. So apparently he was just exhausted. And when he finally had that surgery, and I think he said like the second half of last season, he finally started to feel better after having that. It sounded pretty horrific. He's also had that the problem with his hip, avascular necrosis, which basically is a condition where your bones start to break down because you're not getting enough blood flow to them. But he's had treatment for that. He's been taking medication for that seems to have staved that off as well. So both of those things were things that I was concerned about, and he seems to have gone past them. On the flip side, I do see his plate discipline seems to be declining a little bit. This is the highest O swing rate of his career, so he is swinging at more pitches outside the zone than ever before. I think that batting average might be at even more risk than it usually is because he's never had a great contact rate, but it's going down. But he does still have the power, and I think while he's still got the power, and the power to the degree that he has it is pretty impressive, then he's worth a flyer and you won't have to pay much for him. So if you're looking long term, I definitely don't see him doing this for much longer, but I could still see him coming back next year and hitting another 25 to 30 homers, and you get him in the 20th round of your draft because nobody wants to take him.
Darius, are you a doctor? That was some next level fantasy analysis right there.
Well, injuries used to be my wheelhouse before I started with you guys, and then writing at Banished for the Pen. I was writing for an injury site, so I spent about 2 years just checking injury updates and going over things. So when that Napoli contract, because he was going to sign a 3-year deal, I think, with the Red Sox, and it got cancelled because they found this a condition that he didn't know he had, this hip problem. So that was something when I read it, I remember reading about it, and it sounded like, you know, within like a year or two, he could basically be unable to play. I think it was what ended Bo Jackson's career as well.
You're like the overseas male version of Stefania Bell. I'm glad we have you on Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Well, I think that's my best compliment on the podcast so far, so I'll take it.
All right, why don't we talk about a pitcher that I really like, but you never quite know what you're going to get, but it's certainly encouraging that his last four starts have been really good, and that'd be James Paxton. Darius, you think this is a guy that could strike out close to 200 batters next year?
He seems to have all the components, and yet he doesn't quite have the strikeout rate to do it yet. He struck Mike Trout out 4 times on Sunday, which was pretty impressive. I think Jeff Sullivan wrote a good thing about that over at Fangraphs. He was helped a lot by Mike Zunino's framing. But nevertheless, you don't just strike out Mike Trout 4 times without having some pretty decent stuff.
Especially a lefty striking out Trout 4 times. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Trout had the platoon advantage as well. So that's kind of incredible. So I think all the components are there, but he hasn't quite figured out how to put them into sort of that strikeout plus per inning that you'd need to get to 200. He's doing about 8 per 9 at the moment. Obviously, the fastball is averaging over 97, touching 100. He's really got some nice movement on that. There seems to be a lot of debate as to whether it's a cutter or a slider, but whatever it is, it's got an incredible strikeout rate. I think it's the best in the league on that pitch. And his command is great. He hasn't walked more than a batter for 6 consecutive starts now. So everything looks really good, and he's already an incredibly valuable fantasy starter. I just think there is, if he can figure out maybe sequencing issues or throwing the right pitch on those two strike counts just to put away a few more guys, then definitely can be a 200 strikeout guy going forward.
Yeah, I'm all in on this guy. Like you said, he's not walking a lot of guys. The strikeouts have picked up. I think he's been getting really unlucky with the BABIP, so his numbers could look even better than they are right now. He's still pretty young. He's throwing harder than he ever has before. I do think that his innings might be limited a little bit next year, because I think he's on pace for about 120 this year, so maybe we're looking at 160 next year. What do you think about Paxton, Chuck?
I pretty much echo you guys' sentiments. I really like him for a side reason. That's because I really find all the Taijuan Walker fans, the people that will not give up on Taijuan Walker under any circumstances, to be completely and utterly annoying. And so I really want to see Paxton just leapfrog over the top of him, and then maybe people will finally start shutting up about Taijuan Walker, because I fail to see that Taijuan Walker has really done anything to deserve the kind of adoration that he's somehow drawn to himself. Now, Paxton, there's so much to like, but amongst the things that I like is I really like that his role seems to be pretty secure in Seattle. It's a great place to pitch. I think of the American League divisions that you want to invest in for pitching, I think the AL West is the best one because of a combination of the parks and the lack of depth in some of the lineups, especially in Anaheim. And so I'm as much all in on Paxton as you guys are. And I strongly believe he's the kind of guy who is going to get taken right around Dylan Bundy, maybe a little bit earlier next year, and he's going to be one of those middling starters that's going to be really, really important for fantasy teams next year.
Top 35 starter next year, over under?
Over.
Yeah, I'll go for it. I like the upside. I think he can definitely get there, so I'll take the over two.
Yeah, me too. I'm loving him right now. Another guy that I'm loving would be David Dahl. God, it's nice to play in Coors Field, isn't it? But it's also nice to be a stud 23-year-old prospect, too. Darren, think about David Dahl the rest of the way.
I'm pretty excited about Dahl. It's, whenever you get anybody who's remotely decent in Coors, it's kind of exciting. But for a long time, he's been someone that I've been hoping would get called up by the Rockies, because he's got some really nice power. And he's got a decent amount of speed, too. He's stolen 16 or more bases in three consecutive minor league seasons, and those were partial seasons as well. He's already been hitting third and fourth in that lineup, so he's going to get a lot of at bats in a good spot for runs and RBI. There's some concern over the strikeouts, I think. I know there's some scouts weren't sure about his pitch recognition, and he has had some injury trouble, some pretty freak injury trouble. I think he had a lacerated spleen last year that was fairly serious from an outfield collision. But I think some people felt it was symptomatic of his playing style, maybe leading to a few more injuries in the future. But while he's healthy and playing in that lineup, in that park, then I'm pretty excited about Dahl. I think he could be a pretty high-end outfielder, certainly the rest of the way and into 2017.
Sure.
I find the Rockies outfield situation absolutely fascinating. They traded one of Eli's favorite players, who's a left-handed batter, Corey Dickerson, before the season started.
God, he's so bad.
They traded Corey Dickerson, and now they're in a position where they have four left-handed outfielders that they really can't sit. Gerardo Parra has had kind of an injury-filled season, but he's certainly a player that they invested in a three-year deal just last offseason. So you've got him, you've got Cargo, and you've got Charlie Blackmon, and they're all left-handed hitters. I don't think I recall ever seeing anything quite like this. And the only concern I have for Dahl is not really Dahl himself, but I think all of those guys are going to be given kind of a short leash, because Parra is certainly an adequate center fielder. And so there's four moving parts for three spots. And I know that everyone's going to assume, for 5 years now, you know, I shouldn't say, it isn't even five, it's only three, but everyone says they're going to trade cargo, they're going to trade cargo, they're going to trade cargo, and it hasn't happened. So they've got some serious things to think about next year, because all of a sudden, like I forecasted in the middle of the season, the Rockies are not a terrible pitching team anymore. And so next year, I think they're going to think they can go for it. So maybe one of these guys are going to end up should end up somewhere else.
I think it's Blackman. You know, what's funny. This is another lefty outfielder the Rockies had that I'm really excited about. That'd be Ryan Maltapia, who just got promoted to AAA the other day. So, yeah, they're going to have a huge logjam. But that's good, though. They've got some trade chips to maybe improve their pitching, because John Gray sucks, I tell you. Gave up 8 runs the other day. God damn it. This one, I was finally on board. He gives up 8 runs. God damn it, Chuck. I blame you for this.
You drafted him, sir.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to sit him in Colorado like 99% of the time. Rank the Colorado outfielders next year, guys.
Cargo's still got to be first.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's Cargo, Blackman, Dahl, and Parra. But the odd thing is if they were all given full playing time in Colorado, I think they're all, you know, top 40 to 45 outfielders.
Darius, what do you have them?
I think same order for me. Certainly, I think Dahl has got the power speed to be higher, but until we see it from him, until he's adjusted to major league pitching, I think you have to put him behind Gonzalez and Blackman for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. But I do think that Blackman is the most likely to get traded, but Cargo is certainly a candidate there as well. All right, why don't we move on to Jake Odorizzi. And I wish we had Mike on that podcast, because I'm sure Mike could give us some good insight into a shitty-ass Tampa Bay pitcher. Darius, what do you think about Odorizzi the rest of the year?
I've liked Odorizzi for a while now, but he just seems to not quite be able to get that second, third pitch up to the standard he needs to be a really useful fantasy starter. He's one of these weird guys who's actually got a reverse platoon split. He's a right-hander who can't get right-handers out, and he doesn't seem to be able to really get past that. I think over the course of his career, there's been about a 40-point WOBA difference for right-handed batters, and I think he's only striking them out about 18% of the time, which is not great. He's tried a curveball a bit this year to sort of complement his cutter and slider, and that hasn't really helped. And he doesn't seem to have made that much progress to me. His fastball is really good, and he's got some nice control, but I think until he develops those other pitches, then he's just kind of a middling sort of streamer, maybe back of a rotation kind of guy. But I think there's a lot more there if you can just find something to complement the fastball a bit better.
Yeah, I kind of like him. I think he's solid, reliable, gets you a fair amount of Ks, doesn't have too many blow-up starts, gets quality starts most of the time, goes fairly deep into games. I just wish he would get more ground balls, because the home runs and fly balls are becoming a serious problem. What do you think, Chuck?
I think Odorizzi is one of those guys who's going to fall in. To me, he's going to fall in behind that Dylan Bundy and Paxton group, just because he's in a really tough division. We've seen a pretty good sample size, and the sample size that we see now is kind of runs hot and cold. You know, Odorizzi is a guy, you know, he used to be a Brewer farmhand, part of the Zach Greinke trade way back when. And Odorizzi is a guy that is an attractive mid to late round pick kind of guy in fantasy, because if he gets hot as a pistol, he'll look dominant for a while, but you don't know exactly what you're getting. If you're going to get just a steady guy, or you're going to get a guy that's going to get on a hot streak and really sort of entrench himself more towards the top of the pitching. So he's a late middle round pitcher with the upside to be a top 30 guy if things fall right.
Darius, you agree with the top 30 potential for next year, or do you think this kind of is what he is, solid but not quite capable of getting to that next level?
I think he's capable, but until I see him develop that pitch, I don't think he has that potential as his repertoire is built right now.
Speaking of guys that seem capable of being something special but just hasn't shown it yet in his brief stint in the majors, that'd be AJ Reed of the Astros. Darius, do you think this is the long-term answer for the Astros at first base, or do you think this is going to be kind of a mess for the next couple of years until maybe he gets traded or finally figures it out?
I'm worried that it's going to be a mess. They still seem to be sitting him against lefties, so obviously they're not confident that he can hit them right now, and I don't know when they will be confident that he can do that. So they're happy to use Marwin Gonzalez and Tyler White in there. I think he's only started 5 of the 8 games since he came up because they faced 3 lefties in that span. So he's definitely a guy, if you are using him, you're going to have to check to see who the Astros are playing every day. I think there's potential in there for a 25 to 30 homer guy if they can give him full-time playing time and he's, not too disastrous against lefties. But it's not clear that the Astros definitely want to do that. And they obviously have a lot of pieces on that roster that they've kind of been rotating in and out all year. So I don't see a direct path. And if they're not going to give him the chance to prove himself full-time, then I don't know when that chance is going to come, certainly this season and even going into next year.
Yeah, this is frustrating. I thought this could be a nice year for him, and being in a pretty talented young lineup and a good park to hit in, I thought with all these walks, he could score some runs, drive in some runs, not kill you on average. I just think the moral of the story is never believe first base prospects because they let us down time after goddamn time. What do you think, Chuck?
I think the second that I see his name, I'm just my eyeballs jump out of my head because I remember last year he was considered like the best hitting prospect in the minors, and it's been very underwhelming year for prospects as a generality, and AJ Reed is sort of exhibit A for that. He's got a wide open opportunity in front of him that he can't take. I mean, we're talking about him losing playing time to Marwin
I
Gonzalez.
know, seriously.
Yeah, and not that Marwin Gonzalez, who's like Sean Rodriguez in Pittsburgh, not that he's not a major league player, but he's not somebody who should block an elite talent either. And so I find myself thinking, there was a reason that he had such a tremendous season in the minors last year, and yet you could go to prospect lists early this year and see him ranked, in the mid to low 20s as a prospect. And a lot of it was what you said, Eli. They said repeatedly, an unathletic first baseman, prospect is only appears to have so much value. And though not how he performed last year in the minors, but how he was ranked this year seems to be a lot more appropriate.
All right, we're going to move on to the final guy on our list. And why the hell do we have another Tampa Bay pitcher on the rundown? God damn it. Mike must have infiltrated this list somehow. Chris Archer, is he the stud that he was last year? Has he finally figured it out? Or do we think that his up and down season is going to continue? Chuck, why don't we begin with you?
Well, I think he's getting, early results seem to say that people, are still holding on to what he used to be for sure. And I think that's kind of a dangerous game to play. I think he's going to go as a, around a 15 to 20 starter again next year. And obviously, with how his ERA has ballooned this year and how he's gone through a lot of different struggles, especially away from home, it really makes me think that people are going to overinvest in him next year. He's a very likable guy. He's sort of been made the face of MLB. He's in MLB Tonight commercials. He did his little ambassador stuff when he was in Cuba, and all that is well and good. But him and Marcus Stroman have taken steps back. Stroman obviously worse than Archer. Archer's strikeout rate is going to stay elite. I definitely agree with that. But if I would be willing to invest in him as a top 20 starter next year, with that's going to be a relatively early round pick, I think I'm going to shy away from that. I don't like this trend that I've seen at all this year.
Darius, what do you stand on this one?
Yeah, it's just the control is not good enough, and I don't know if it's ever going to be good enough for him to sort of make that step, or even to sort of stay in that number two range. I think with the strikeout rate he's got, if he can just even be like respectable with the walk rate, then he's a number two starter. But he's walking almost 4 per 9 this year, and it's just not really something that you can do and get away with, I don't think, especially with the sort of the rise in the home run rate this year. Saras has an interesting piece at Fangraphs that suggested that the Rays might have more of a home run problem if this thing about the balls being slightly different and traveling slightly further, because they tend to pitch up in the zone. All of their young starters do it, and they do seem to have been more affected than any other team by the increase in home run rate. He's had some really nice starts lately. I think he's had four quality starts in a row. He had a great start in Coors, which is probably useless because you probably benched him. And he actually looked great. His slider was working really nicely. But he was probably sitting on almost everyone's bench for that start. So yeah, I think he's going to be a frustrating guy to own. He'll still get you the maybe 200 plus strikeouts a year as long as he keeps pitching. But I don't think you can really trust him as anything more than a number three at most going forward.
Man, you guys are haters. Guys on pace for 243 strikeouts. I know the whip's disappointing, but I just feel like he had such a bad start to the season. He seems to be turning things around. I think he's got the walks manageable at this point. They're still not great, but I think the last 10 starts or so, for the most part, he's kind of cut them down. I think he's a top 20 starter next year. Do you guys thinking more in the 30 range?
Yeah, I'd say closer to 30 than 20 for me.
And that pretty much means, when Darius and I say that, that pretty much means we're not getting him, because someone is going to buy into how good he looked 2 years ago, which I don't necessarily blame him. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I root for the guy. I like his mound presence. I like a lot about him. You know, I always root for Tampa players just because it seems like, you know, they're kind of always everyone's favorite underdog. But at the same time, I think he's going to go way too high for me to take him. I would be a lot more comfortable at 30 than at 16 or 17. And I strongly think that's where he's going to go, is somewhere between 16 and 20.
I just feel like the year he's had is absolute worst case scenario. There's no way he does this next year. He's going to be better. And the ERA is going to take a step. It's going to go to what, like 3.7 or something like that. So you're going to get a nice bump in ERA. He's not going to get this unlucky with the win-loss record. I know he hasn't been great this year, but the 6-15 is completely ludicrous. I think the whip will get a little bit better. I just feel like he's got about as much upside as anyone you can get at that point in the draft. I just think we're looking at a top 25 guy again, but whatever, we'll see.
I have a funny side story about Chris Archer. Years ago, when I was just doing my own podcast, I called Baseball America right after the Will Myers trade was made. And I told, on one of their podcasts, I mentioned that I really very much would have liked the trade a lot better if the Royals would have gotten Chris Archer instead of Wade Davis, which was generally scoffed at and told me that people really didn't believe in Chris Archer at all as a starter at that point. And ironically, they're probably really happy that they got Wade Davis instead of Chris Archer. But in a way, I was right. Because I was thinking that Chris Archer, we didn't know who he was yet, and he could be a quality starter, which obviously hasn't been Wade Davis's role. So I just think it's interesting that he's one of the lesser pedigreed Rays pitchers in recent years. You know, Blake Snell had a better pedigree. Obviously, Matt Moore had a much better pedigree. And yet he's the one that's sort of front and center as the guy with the most upside left on their rotation.
Matt Moore blows. I hate Matt Moore. Guy can't get out of the fifth inning. Fucking pitch counts. Well, what do you think about Matt Moore, Darius, now that he's on your team?
I mean, I think it's a great place for him to go. I think with Petco playing the way it is these days, then AT&T is arguably the best pitcher's park in the majors.
LA's got a good one, right?
Well, if you look at the park factors, I think it's San Francisco. But I know LA is where all the home runs go to die. I think with the home run problem he was having, then it's a great landing spot for him. I think he can be like a number 3-4 kind of guy going forward, just with the improvement in park. But I don't think that there's too much more than that there. He still has, much like Archer really, is walking too many guys, and he doesn't strike as many out as Archer does either. So I think the best you can hope for is kind of dependable sort of number 4 who's going to get you a decent amount of strikeouts and not hurt you too much in the ERA department.
I'm looking at the player rater for the last 30 days in the ESPN of hitters. And the top 3 are Billy Hamilton, Jonathan Villar, and Hernan Perez.
Steals, man.
Yeah, steals. I feel like we should talk about Hamilton real quick. Do we buy the improvements he's made with his hitting and his on-base skills? And if so, I mean, this guy would be a stud next year. Do we buy this at all?
I think it's hard to buy into it too much. We've seen a pretty large sample size from Hamilton, and he just doesn't seem to have a good enough plate approach, doesn't have enough power. He gets busted inside too easily. I mean, I think Billy Hamilton is what he is. I mean, he steals in bunches, but I really don't expect anything else other than that out of him going forward.
Guy's got 9 steals in his last 3 games. That's ridiculous. What do you think, Darius?
I mean, I think this is what everybody was hoping for, you know, from the optimum form of Billy Hamilton these last 3 games. You know, people were seeing, you know, maybe he'll steal 90 or 100 bases. And if he could actually get on base this often on a regular basis, then he would. But I don't think he will. I think he'll go back to, you know, going over 4 for a couple of weeks. And it's quite hard to steal bases when you go over 4 every night.
I mean, so, if you want to be an optimist about it, I mean, there's no reason for the Reds not to play him. So that's always sort of the last couple of years. That's sort of been the silver lining.
I think to an extent, there's a nice sort of flaw there in that, you know, he's still not been hitting that well this year, and he's got 48 steals. So if you just want stolen bases, then you'll get stolen bases. But I haven't seen anything in his approach to suggest that he's improved as a hitter, really. So I just think this is one of those bunches where he's stealing bases, and then you might go another couple of weeks with only 1 or 2 steals and be cursing Billy Hamilton for the 150 batting average that he's given your team in those weeks. So I think, yeah, he is what he is, and what he is might be 60 or 70 steals in a good year, but it might also be somebody who kills you in the other categories, really.
Oh, well, he'll definitely be killing you in homers and RBIs. No doubt about that. But, I mean, he's not killing you in average right now, and he's actually been a decent asset in runs. So that's the key to him. Yeah, just get on base and then...
he will get the playing time.
Yeah,
it depends what, you know, what you're paying for him, because when people were getting on the hype train, what was he going, 3rd, 4th round in some leagues when people thought he was going to be a 90-steal guy?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a 100-steal guy, honestly. I was so in on this guy, but now I'm so out. But now I might be back in again. I hate these people. All right, that'll wrap us up for the podcast. Wasn't it so great without Justin? I'm just saying.
You could obviously tell that, you know, he was just going to drag the whole thing down, and he thought he'd let us get on with it.
Yeah, I think that his whole computer had issues, was just a scam. He didn't want to do it today. He was probably sick of talking about Hernan Perez in his defense.
I've done everything I can to keep Hernan Perez out of the discussion lately. It's just that Hernan Perez has done everything he can to keep himself in the discussion.
Yeah. Darius, where can we find you on Twitter if people want to reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I do not tweet about Hernan Perez, so that's a bonus, I suppose.
We thank you for that. Chuck, where can we send your Billy Bean rants?
Yeah, if you want stern criticism of almost every major league GM, it's at Just Chucking It is a good place to go, because I'm certainly not easy on the GMs around the game. Although I'm very happy with David Stearns, the Brewer GM.
I was just going to say, are you happy with Stearns so far?
I am. I'm very happy. I couldn't imagine them getting much more at the trade deadline than what they got. And I think they took the high road, and they didn't trade Junior Guerra when they thought he might be hurt, unlike some of the other teams around the bigs.
Chuck,
that traded injured goods.
Chuck, give me 30 seconds on Rick Hahn.
Rick Hahn? The only thing I can say about the White Sox is, you know, their history suggests that they'll take... you know, they'll take some big chances and make some big trade maneuvers, et cetera. You know, the Samardzija deal recently, and those big trades just haven't worked out recently. You know, I also think their minor league, what they've gotten out of their minors has been pretty dreadful over the last 6 or 7 years. A lot of names come and go and fall out of any sort of consideration to be good players. So they need a bit of a revamping, in my opinion.
Well, who the fuck asked you?
Somebody asked me. I remember that.
I actually kind of like Rick Hahn, but I mean, they certainly deserve some criticism for the farm system and some of the trades that haven't worked out. But honestly, every single trade they've made for the most part for the past like 5+ years, I've really loved at the time. So I like that they're aggressive and they go for it. I wish their farm system was more consistently reliable, and they haven't developed a good hitter in pretty much 15 years. Tim Anderson is sadly the best one we've had in a decade, but I do like what they've done with the pitching. So I think Rincon's pretty good, but you know, it can be frustrating to be a White Sox fan these days. But you can find me on Twitter at ElayFWFB, and that will be it for today's podcast. Thanks for joining us.